Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
All right, we just need to solve this once and for all. So, last hour, I don't even know how it came up, but you talked about how that line in Rocky where
right.
Apollo Creed's trainer said, "You can't win." And that just led to a whole bunch of confusion. Okay, about where did the line "you can't win" really come from? Yeah. So,
and you correctly pointed out it was from Adrian, which I argued with, and then I thought about it, and I was like, no, he was like the trainer was the throw in the towel guy.
Right, throw the damn towel, right?
Right.
But I even though I knew it was Adrian, I got the wrong Adrian in the wrong movie. All right, mm-hmm. So without further ado.
Mm. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Right from the top, okay?
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Here we go.
All right.
Rocky?
Yeah?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Why'd you do it?
I just gotta do what I gotta do.
You don't have to do anything.
No, Adrian, I do. I gotta leave this place, too.
So where are you going?
They said they're gonna let me train in Russia. And I just wanna be somewhere where I ain't gonna think about nothing except him.
Rocky, give it some time. Don't do this. A lot of people live with hurt.
A lot of people don't have a choice. Adrian, I do.
And for that, you're willing to lose everything?
Adrian, this isn't everything. This house, the cars, all the stuff we got. That ain't everything. There's a lot more to this, Adrian.
Before there were reasons to fight, I could understand, but I don't understand this. Even if you win, what if you won? Apollo's still gone. Why can't you change your thinking? Everybody else does.
Because I'm a fighter. That's how I'm made. Adrian, that's what you married. We can't change what we are.
Yes, you can.
We can't change anything, Adrian. All we can do is go with what we are.
You can't go with what you are. You've read the papers. It's suicide. You've seen him. You know how strong he is. You can't win.
Acting!
Your Rocky is strong.
Was really good.
Yeah. That was really good, Rocky. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Even Joe Klatt somewhere is going, bravo, bravo, well done.
Oh, that was wonderful.
That was good.
You had a couple
of words there that were like, I don't know if I'm listening to Mark Schlereth
or Sylvester Stallone.
Sylvester Stallone.
Right. Can you imagine if I had said you?
No! You can't do that.
Inside joke.
All right.
Yes. So, okay.
We have settled it. It was Rocky IV. There you go.
Rocky IV.
You can't win. It's an Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest, and clearly on Fridays we get a little loose, so you can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, and just give it to us in the form of Is It Just Me? It could be about all the local teams and beyond. So, Is It Just Me? Is It Just Me? Or was yesterday a classic example of no matter how much people try to delegitimize the combine, all it takes is performances like the one by Justin Herbert or Henry Ruggs III to just get all fired up about what they're seeing from the combine.
Oh, absolutely. Because there's a lot. Listen, man, there's a lot of stupid people that run NFL franchises.
Struggling.
I mean, think about it. If it is so important, why are 50% of the players going to be busts? If it is so telling, why are 70% of the receivers going to be below average or names that you took in the first round that never produced? I mean, that position especially. because it's not an exact science, and people get enamored with stuff that doesn't matter. I mean, again, like I told you, the last 40, the last bench press test, the last vertical jump I ever did was during the pre-draft process. If it's so important, why are you not using it as a measuring stick every year? Because it's not important. Once you figure out you can play, then you can play. And ultimately, your NFL executives and scouts and people say it all the time. Hey, man, it's just a, you know, it's just an adjunct to the film. You can't lay, like, the film is the ultimate truth teller, right? You got to look at the film. But yet, every year, somebody will forgive the film, will make excuses for the lack of production on the film and say, well, he just wasn't being coached correctly, or he just didn't have good players around him, or, you know, and they'll go on and on and on to make excuses because somebody is going to put together a combine, like just a beastly combine. It's the Mike Mamula syndrome, right? You just come out there and you put up ridiculous numbers, and all of a sudden you elevate yourself in the first round because, wow, these numbers are just, you know, off the charts. Vernon Golston, how did he turn out? But his numbers were so good. Tony Mandrich, how'd he end up? Like, you can go through the list of guys that just put up unbelievably ridiculous combine numbers. Like, you could Google right now who's winning the combine. They'll give you like the top 10 combine performances of all time, you know? And ultimately, most of those players, as we've seen with the bench press test, we did it earlier, most of the guys who won the bench press test, the most reps ever, most of those guys didn't play more than a handful of plays or a handful of games. Same with the 40 time. The best 40 time guys, like, most of them weren't very good players.
Okay, so the fact that, and if everybody else wants to fall into this combine trap, fine. I just care about what the Broncos are doing, right?
Right.
So the fact that they kept their assistant coaches home and told them, look at film. Look at the game tape.
Right.
And if there's just a couple of questions that pop up based on you watching the game tape that you'd like to see us try to get answered out here at the combine, let us know.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that the Broncos seem to be sending a message that they are more about game tape than they are about underwear Olympics.
Mm-hmm. I had a Bronco.
Does that make you feel good?
Yes, it does. I had a Broncos coach tell me this. He said, I don't want to know anything about the combine. I don't want to know. I just want to say these are the guys that I like the best at this position, right? I want to study the tape. This is the guy that breaks up, you know, passes or that gets open consistently or whatever their position is, right? Said, I just want to know that there's a range. Like to play receiver or to play safety, you got to run between a 4.4 and a 4.6, right? And as long as you're in that range and then I go, okay, if you're in that range, and I'm going to the tape, right? The tape is what ultimately decides it. So, like, for instance, if you look great on tape and you play wide receiver and you only run a 4.87, you're gonna fall. You know, you may become a seventh rounder or whatever. But if you look great on tape and you're unbelievable and you run in that 4.6 range, hey man, you're in there with the 4.4 guys. If you know what you're doing, same thing on the opposite side, on the defensive side. So is like use the combine numbers just to say, just to validate the tape. All right, man, this guy flies around. He's all over. He makes every play. Where's it? All right, good. He's in the range of the speed that you need to play this position. That's all. Just use it as a way to verify what you see on tape.
All right. Is it just me? Easy for me to say. Is it just me? Friday. We'll get to your hot takes coming up. Also, if we don't want a receiver in the first round, and you know how I feel about quarterbacks in the first round. So what exactly do I want in the first round? Is there anybody I'm willing to take in the first round? Of course there is. And I'll tell you who next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.
I've been thinking about it a lot in the shower.
Oh, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Millennial Ben just thanks you so much. I would say a strong...
I like you a lot.
I would say like a strong like 20% of Millennial Ben's vast library right. drops might just include Jerryisms.
I think you could have just said, you know, I think about the days a lot. You didn't have to put in the shower part, right? You didn't have to go into that amount of detail.
Well, no, you didn't have to, but I kind of admire him
right.
for it. You know, the fact that he's willing to admit that I mean, the fact that
it's better to think of him in the shower than on the toilet.
But that's the thing.
Right?
The fact that he's willing to go to that place, that deep, dark place that none of us want to admit exists in our mind, where we're actually picturing Jerry Jones in a shower. I give him credit. I really kind of admire him that he's willing to plant that image in all of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
All right.
I wonder if he's got one of those showers you see on TV where you can walk into it like a bathtub shower. It's got like a little chair in there, you know, and you can let the water run over you and the next thing you know, you're in the bath. Yeah, Jerry's gotta have
he's
that,
gotta
right?
Have whatever the coolest
you know
bath
shower
out there.
You know what I would like? What I would like is one of those steam showers. It becomes like a steam bath. You know, it's got like the glass bricks all the way up to the ceiling. You can get in there and you shut yourself away and you just steam it on up. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
That would be great.
That sounds awesome. Couple of quick is it just me's?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just me, fellas, or did you find yourself NHL scoreboard watching last night in regards to the Avs? I actually did that. I was flipping around, came across some hockey. I was watching a little bit of the Dallas Stars Bruins game. Dallas lost. So thank you, Bruins, for the help there. And it looked like the Avs were going to get some help from the Islanders, who were leading the Blues late in the third period, and then they gave up the game-tying goal with a minute and a half left, and then the Blues won in overtime. So the Avs continue to
Do they still have a couple games?
They still have some of those all-important games. Oh, yes. The Avs trail the Blues for first place in the division, first place in for home ice around the whole Western Conference. They're down by 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
But three games in hand.
And they finished the season with the Blues,
with
right?
With the Blues here, yes.
So you know, you're telling me there's a chance.
So you know how I'm a big loss column guy.
I love my loss column.
Right?
Yeah.
In hockey, this time of year, I start looking at the GP column. Games played.
Uh-huh.
And those games in hand. Like, for example, the Avalanche are only 1 point ahead of the Stars for what would be a first-round matchup against Dallas for home ice. They're only 1 point ahead of Dallas, but they have two games in hand.
Two.
So there's a golden opportunity.
Those win those two games, and that's what, 4 points?
That's 4 points, and you've put a lot of distance between them. You got three games in hand over the Blues. You win those three games, you're ahead of them. So
All right.
There you go. The games in hand become very important this time of year. So I was accused of saying, let's see, Evans, you don't want to draft a quarterback in the first round,
uh-huh.
which, by the way, is a bold-faced lie. I am more than willing to draft a quarterback in the first round if he is clearly first-round worthy.
Right.
My complaint is that because there is such a feeling of desperation out there that if I don't have the quarterback, I have to go draft a quarterback, what that has led to is an overdrafting, an overvaluing of quarterbacks who should not go in the first round, but they end up going in the first round simply
right.
because of panic and desperation.
Sure.
So, I mean, you give me a legitimate, you know, top. I mean, you can just see that this guy's going to be a great, great pro. And that's why I come back to the whole Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow thing. Why is it that we constantly say the film, what happens in the game, should matter the most?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in a week in which Joe Burrow has a small hand size and Justin Herbert runs a, you know, 4.46 or something like that.
4.71.
4.71. That's all of a sudden, it's like, well, Herbert's the better NFL prospect. See, these are the kind of mistakes that lead you to trading up to take Mitch Trubisky. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And I could easily see Justin Herbert being the next Mitch Trubisky. Honestly. I mean, come on, let's go back. Look at his career at Oregon. Find me a signature win. Find me one.
Right.
And you know how I feel about the Pac-12. I mean, stay away from Pac-12 quarterbacks. I mean, it's easily the worst of the five Power Five conferences. So,
that ain't true!
Yeah, it is. See, that Millennial Ben, big Josh Rosen fan.
Mm-hmm.
Get your facts straight.
So the question was, who are you willing to draft in the first round?
Right.
And, I guess my draft strategy is kind of boring, but I believe in O-line, D-line, front seven on defense,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Linebacker, or a dominating safety. And I'll tell you what, if you follow that blueprint and that's how you go in every year trying to draft, I will be a perennial contender every single year. Now, you out there who wants to overdraft a quarterback, or God forbid, take a receiver at number 15, and you get led around by your fantasy football ways, you will not be a perennial playoff contender. It's as simple as that. So, yeah, I do have a draft philosophy. Inside out, address the guts of your football team, front seven on defense, and you'll be great. You will be fine every single year.
You know, it's so funny that when you talk about or you talk to coaches in this league, and this has been something that has been a real cool part of my career the last 3 years, getting to call games, because I get to talk to so many coaches and develop relationships with coaches and obviously run the fall ball, defend the run. That's cliche, right? And everybody talks about it. But what they're really saying to you when they say defend the run is they're saying, we have got to control the line of scrimmage. That's really what they're talking about. Because you'll see a lot of coaches that go with light boxes, right? Light front sevens. They'll play nickel. They'll play dime. They'll play dime to base personnel. And what they're telling you is, hey, we may give up 4 yards of carry in this particular defense, but what we have to be able to do, even though we're at a number count disadvantage, we got to be able to control the line of scrimmage. And that's really what they're talking about. And you show me teams, they control the line of scrimmage, like offensively, they run the ball, or Mike, they can get out five receivers and they can block you up, you know, five one-on-ones, right? You show me teams that can consistently do that or consistently defend the run or make big plays in the backfield, in the running game, and I'll show you the teams that went to the playoffs. So I'm with you. I don't mind venturing to a quarterback or venturing to a receiver if it's generational. Just like I would have drafted Quentin Nelson. You can't draft a guard at 5 overall, really, but at 6 overall, he's a dominant performer. Now, it's not his fault that Andrew Luck got hurt and all that stuff, but the bottom line is this, is you have got to address and draft really good football players, and I'm a big believer in the inside-out process. Front seven, O-line,
yeah,
right? I believe in that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, so, you know, somebody asked, who are your first-round worthy quarterbacks this year? Well, I would say the guy that had the greatest season ever
mm-hmm.
by a college football quarterback, Joe Burrow, is a legit first-round prospect.
Right.
And Tua, if he's healthy,
right.
I would put Tua in that list. But other than that, Justin Herbert?
Justin,
if you're not careful, the team that takes Justin Herbert is getting another Mitch Trubisky. Looks great
Workout. Hey, wait a minute.
Running,
Trubisky,
throwing.
Blaine Gabbert. Like all the guys that were big and tall and really had big arms and, you know, Blaine Gabbert ran a 4.72 or 4.73, had a big arm right out of Missouri. Put up some numbers, right? Looked the part at 6'5", big body, big frame. Like, you got to understand that the production has to be there.
And don't give me that Herbert won the Rose Bowl. Who cares? I mean, come on. College bowl games?
I mean, come on. They're exhibition games, okay? They don't count. So let's not go making a case for a guy because of what he did in an exhibition game. All right, Four Down Territory is coming up next. How sad is Mark with the understanding that Tom Brady might be moving on? That's next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is Four Down Territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal file, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, Fred. First down.
I actually didn't ask for the times. Whenever I ran them, I ran off field. So if it felt good, I'll go back to the coach and ask him, did it look good?
What do you want to hit?
I'm trying to hit the lowest ever, so 4.22 or lower.
Well, Henry Ruggs did not break the record for the fastest 40 time, although he still ran a blistering 4.27.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make him the guy you are salivating about, that you want the Broncos to run out and draft?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to go out and get the fastest. And listen, his film matches that speed. And so I probably think that Ruggs will probably not be there at 15, Mike. I pretty much am having a feeling that he won't. So hopefully that cures the Broncos from having to go up and get him or him being available there. Somebody because of that speed, because of what they see on film, I think will jump up before 15 to get him.
Real quick, if they drafted a receiver at number 15, it wouldn't be an incredibly dumb pick because they do have a need. They have a number one receiver, and then they don't have a number two, and they don't have a number three.
Yes.
You know, guys like Tim Patrick and Deshaun Hamilton, they're 4, 5, 6 type receivers on your roster.
Right.
So it wouldn't be incredibly stupid. Yeah, I don't think it'd be incredibly smart, but the fact that it wouldn't be incredibly stupid, would you be okay with that?
No. I wouldn't, because I think it's a short fix. One, you and I went through the first rounders, about 35 first rounders and since 2012, and receivers in the first round, about 8 of them can play. Like, I think that's incredibly short-sighted. I think you have to address the bigger needs, the bigger guts, and you have to get the best football players that you can get. And there may be, free agency's coming around, but there may be needs, or there is needs at the defensive line position, the cornerback position, at the offensive line position, that I think all trump the receiver position, especially with the depth of the receiver position.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
Anywhere I go, I'm happy. And I know it sounds kind of cheesy and politically correct, but it's not. I'm excited to wherever I go. I just want to play football for as long as I can. And to be given a chance to be here at this place is enough for me. And I'm excited to be here. I want to get better, do everything I can to play football for as long as I can.
Well, Justin Herbert had himself quite a day yesterday at the Pac-12 wowing scouts. We haven't seen a quarterback wow scouts since, I don't know, Sam Darnold threw
ball security is job security.
Baseball cap on backwards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, how about when Blaine Gabbert came racing up the draft boards, I think 10th overall, because of his size and arm talent and his 4.73 40. That guy's been money.
Listen, Justin Herbert, I am very leery of Herbert because he comes from the Pac-12. Pac-12 quarterbacks of late, Josh Rosen, Marcus Mariota, no thanks. It's the worst of the five power conferences. It's the worst of the five power conferences. And, you know, when people are trying to say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean he hasn't had a signature win? What about Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl? You mean when he went 14 of 20 for 138 yards? That's signature?
And rush for a bunch of touchdowns. Hey, let me ask you this. Is the Pac-12 really worse than the Big 12?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
That ain't true!
Yes. It is easily the softest.
You think?
Of all the five conferences.
Big 12 defense is pretty damn soft.
Listen, I'm not saying, well, the Big 12 would be fourth of the power conferences for
me. Be nice.
All right. Relax.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Third down.
I lift things up and put them down.
So how about
I lift things up and put them
that
down.
Never gets old.
What is that from?
Your clothes. Give them to me now.
I lift things up and put them down. What is that from?
Which movie is that from, Benny?
I have no idea.
Arizona State's Michael Turk.
Yes.
The only kicker or punter to take part in the bench press put up 25 reps of 225 pounds.
Mm.
To put that in perspective, Turk did better in the bench than all but one of the tight ends who participated and better than all 33 wide receivers who took part in the drill.
Well,
listen,
that's what you need.
As far as one who is more than ready to move on from Colby Wadman, let's get this guy in here.
Maybe he can play dual position.
He'll immediately beef up your special teams. This guy will go down the field looking to knock people's head off.
Yeah. Again, he's a punter.
Is he though?
Or is he a football player?
Now, after his performance,
what's his name?
His performance. Michael Turk, is there a relationship?
Matt Turk.
I remember Matt Turk as a punter.
What was Matt Turk? Was Matt Turk a punter or Matt?
I thought Matt Turk was a punter. No?
Why did I think there was a guy named Turk that was an offensive lineman? Matt Turk. What did you find?
Turk is the nephew of former NFL punter Matt Turk, who played 17 seasons in the league. From 1995 to 2011. Was he with you with the Redskins?
Matt Turk? No, I think he was after. I remember Matt Turk. Maybe I did play with Matt Turk. No, I came here in 95.
Okay. So he probably...
But I remember Matt Turk. Yeah.
So he's the nephew of. He's a football player. He lifts things up and puts them down. Next!
I lift things up and put them down.
Next in 4-down territory.
Fourth down.
At this point, I'd be stunned if he returns to New England, to be very blunt about it. It is not as if Tom Brady is flirting with the possibility of free agency so we can ultimately come back with the Patriots. He is absolutely looking forward to free agency.
That is Jeff Darlington, who has been covering the Patriots for many years for ESPN, and it is his belief... His sources say that he would be stunned if Tom Brady returns to New England. Now, here's my question. Is it a case of New England wanting Brady and Brady wanting out? Or could it be that the Patriots are just ready to move on from Tom?
I think he wants to explore it. He wants to feel loved. He wants to have an opportunity outside. And I think maybe the biggest part, Mike, is you want all those things because you want... You know, you want your team to come back after you and say, no, you're a lifer here. You're our guy, Tom. And you want them to step up and give you the market value. I think this is the best case scenario for the New England Patriots to say, hey, it wasn't on us. Tom wanted to go explore free agency. He wanted to leave. We were ready, but we just couldn't. Like, we were up against the, we can't make it.
I love Tom Brady.
Yeah, so I think this is the best way possible for the Patriots to rip the Band-Aid off without looking like they kicked them out the door.
Yep. Nope, I think Bill is ready to move on. Move on. We move on. That'll do it for 4-Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. It is a Is It Just Me Friday, where we give you a chance to get stuff off your opinion. All kinds of hot takes coming in on the Ramoslav.com text line. We'll get to those next. All right, Is It Just Me Friday? Let's get to it. Ramoslav.com text line. Is it just me or is Evans a moron? Watch some dang college football. Big 12 is trash. Maybe the Big 12 is trash. Pac-12 is trashier.
Very nice.
By the way, Big 12 speaking, just legitimately speaking, what?
Showtime!
Beyond Oklahoma, who's in the Big 12 that's worth a crap? Baylor was pretty good last year. But seriously, who's, you know, if Texas could get out of their own way and stop underachieving, they should be a juggernaut.
Well, that they haven't been a juggernaut in
but they aren't.
Two decades.
They should be. That's the last time Texas was any good.
I don't know.
Seriously.
That's Vince Young.
Ugh.
But,
I mean, come on. Pac 12? What do you think of when you think of the Pac 12? Little word association. What do you think of?
I think a pillow fight.
Okay, there you go.
That's
And by the way, support that with the, who told you? Gruden?
Yeah, Gruden. Gruden, when he was working for ESPN, Gruden and I were at the draft. I was doing draft on radio. He was doing it on TV. And we're down in the lobby of the hotel having coffee at a little Starbucks in there. So we're having some coffee and, we're just chopping it up. And Gruden and I, we're just talking draft in general. Draft in general, and Gruden goes, dude, it's unbelievable. He goes, I travel around. I went to a bunch of spring games and stuff. He goes, I go down to Alabama talking to Nick Saban, watching practice, and I go, you'd have loved it. He goes, yeah, that's dinosaur football. You know, I'll tell you what, man, you're a dinosaur. You're a dinosaur. You'd love that football. Right, guys just smashing helmets, pads cracking, it was loud, dudes getting carted off. Nick say, move the drill! You know, he's just like, he goes, it's real football, it's real live football. Right? He goes, then I go down to Oregon, Chip Kelly. Yeah, I tell you what, man, sound like a pillow fight. That's exactly what, yeah, the exact words.
That's the Pac-12.
Sounded like a pillow fight.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And you think in the Pac-12, this is why Colorado's got an opportunity. Like Carl Durrell plays in, he coached in that style of football. He understands. He was there at the end of, the end of our kind of run with Mike Shanahan with back to back Super Bowls and all that kind of stuff. He understands about physical dominance. Like you could turn a program around. I'm not saying you're going to win it every year. But you're not going to compete. I don't think you'll compete here in Colorado for the athletes that you're going to get that are going to go to USC or UCLA, go to California, blah, 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 blah. But do I think you can bludgeon people like they do in Stanford? Yeah. And do I think you can win the Pac-12 doing that? Absolutely. I think that part of it for me is a really good hire.
Here's another one. Is it just me or Evans? You're such a Richard Nine. Justin Trubisky? Wow. The reason I'm calling him Justin Trubisky is because this is the problem that so many teams make and so many fans and so many radio hosts, DMAC, make is they fall in love with, look at the arm. Look at the height. Look at the mobility. And it drives me crazy because, okay, all that stuff said, what matters year after year when you watch the top quarterbacks? Okay. Patrick Mahomes was not 100% for most of this football season. He was not. And yet, what was the biggest takeaway for you? With Patrick Mahomes' ascension to superstardom this year, what stood out to you the most about Mahomes?
Toughness stood out, and his ability, even during stretches of bad play, to make in critical moments to make a play
and to lead.
Yeah.
And to, and,
well, that's
and to,
part of leadership.
And, but to inspire and instill a belief when they're down 24-0 to the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
And he is walking up and down the sideline going, guys, relax.
Mm.
Relax. We got this. We're good. Once we start rolling, don't worry. And they came from behind to beat Houston. They came from behind to beat Tennessee. They came from by, what was it, three straight, the only team ever to trail by 10 or more points in
double-digit
postseason games and win all of them.
Double digit deficits in all three.
That's the biggest takeaway. And I just think that when it comes to the over drafting of these quarterbacks, that too much emphasis is put on stuff that just doesn't matter.
Too much emphasis is put on talent. You know what being talented makes you? Talented. That's what it makes you. Right? And too much emphasis is put on talent. And a lot of it is because a lot of it is because this, the mentality, I think, in the NFL, and this is just life lesson mentality, Mike. There are too many people that live their lives going, they want a built-in excuse, right? They want to be able to quantify. They want a number. They want to be able to add an analytics to it, you know, add analytics to it, right? So many people walk through life and they don't achieve because they look at it like, they look at it like in regards to the combine. Well, look, I mean, he ran a 4.71. Well, look, he's got a big arm. Well, look, like I have created a list of excuses to make sure that I don't have to own any responsibility, right? Like people walk through life developing a list of excuses and basically mitigating the amount of responsibility that they have to take for anything. As opposed to sticking your neck out there, there's a beauty in jumping into the deep end of the pool and seeing if you can swim, right? And this is the problem with the NFL draft is we want to have our fallback on talent because that mitigates the responsibility we have to take when a guy's a bust. Well, it's not my fault. I mean, look at the numbers. Numbers tell you he should have played. You know, it's like the dude that has a great spin rate on the Rapsodo machine on his four seam fastball that's given up a 7.72 ERA. Not my fault. I mean, the guy's spin rate is off the charts. It's way above major league average. It's 2,700 miles an hour, you know, 2,700 RPMs, right? That's on you. No, listen, if you don't hide the ball and people can see it, they're going to hit it. I don't care how fast the damn thing spins. So I just think that we have, and I think analytics does this. I think analytics creates a lot of opportunities for you to say, for you to be finger pointers instead of thumb pullers. That's what we got. We got a bunch of freaking people making decisions in the National Football League and all over this country that are finger pointers.
By the way, you people are getting me, wah, wah, wah. Why are you comparing Justin Herbert to Mitch Trubisky? Justin Herbert wowing people yesterday with that 4.68 he ran.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, the drive was just gushing over Justin Herbert.
He's elite.
I heard he was elite. 4.68, right? 4.68. Mm-hmm. You know what Mitch Trubisky ran at the combine? 4.67.
Ooh.
And you're wondering why I'm comparing Justin Herbert to Mitch Trubisky? Hey,
that was very nice.
Hey, it's not a case of being nice. It's just a case of pointing out that when it comes to evaluating when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks these days, teams have just lost their way. They have lost their way. They are overvaluing and overdrafting guys.
Mm-hmm.
Guys that are going in the first round who should be going in the second round. I mean, the depths that the league goes to convince themselves, to talk themselves into prospects. Going into the Senior Bowl of the year that Baker Mayfield ended up going number one overall, he was a fringe late first, early second round pick. Kyler Murray a year ago, it wasn't until a stupid measurement that showed that he was what, over 5'10"?
Yeah, he was.
That vaulted him.
5'10 and like a smidge.
Right.
As opposed to 5'9 and, you know, like scraping 5'10.
Right. It just shows the lengths that these teams will go to talk themselves into these guys as can't miss right. prospects.
And by the way, Kyler Murray may end up being really good.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah,
exactly. We'll see. Yeah. He may be. I just remember when everybody and their brother's uncle, when I said I wasn't sold on Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma Nation coming after me, most accurate quarterback in the history of college football. I mean, the bottom line is, like, again, you get into these numbers, and I know they're part of the evaluation, but for the most part, like, it's a way for general managers to basically say, well, it's not our fault that he didn't, like, it's the coaches, they didn't prepare him properly, or they didn't, you know, that to me seems to be the thing that bothers me more about any, about this process than anything
else. Remember the great line from the immortal Brad Pitt in Moneyball when we think about all these combine numbers where he said,
Hold on. I got it. If he's so good, then why doesn't he play good? He's so fast.
But I got to say this about Brad Pitt. Dude is beautiful. Brad Pitt is one handsome man.
Sure.
Brad Pitt is gorgeous.
That's true. I mean, listen.
Two guys can't be wrong.
That's it.
Two dudes.
That should go right on the ultimate dudes, the two dude draft right there.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt is gorgeous.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, if he's so good, then why doesn't he play good?
Oh, that too, but the Brad Pitt thing. Yeah. I could get some Brad Pitt pictures and put them up there. Should I pull out the Brad Pitt pictures from my wallet and paste them up there right now?
Sure.
I mean, I always carry.
I know you have a few.
I always carry a few Brady, a few Brad Pitt, a few Jimmy Garoppolo pictures.
Speaking of Gruden, he took in an Aerosmith concert in Vegas with Frank Caliendo.
I know.
This is what transpired.
Yes, I'm sitting here at the Aerosmith concert with my good friend, John Gruden. How's it going, Johnny?
Tell you what, man. It's going to be a good concert, man. Hasn't even started. Got some picks. Got some drumsticks.
We got a lot of good times ahead, don't we, Johnny?
John Gruden and Frank Caliendo at an Aerosmith concert. Man, how would you love to be sitting next to those two?
It's so funny to hear Frank talk about John Gruden because he's like, I think it's kind of one of those keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Right.
Like, John, like, he's like, does he like me? I don't really know if he does or not. Like, it's Gruden's an interesting cat, man. I really like John Gruden.
Is it just me that rolled in here? Is it just me, guys? Or are the Nuggets playing a must-win game tonight?
Ooh. Well, they have the Clippers in L.A., right?
The Clippers in L.A. And right now the Nuggets are 40-18. The Clippers are 39-19. The Nuggets have a one game lead over the Clippers for the second seed. The Nuggets one game ahead in the all important loss column.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, how big of a deal is it that the Nuggets finish second? Likely looking at, although Houston's starting to win again. Boy, I'll tell you what. I'm rooting for Houston to overtake the Clippers. I'd much rather play Houston in the second round than the Clippers.
Oh, your first round.
Your first round matchup as of right now is against Dallas. Which
Dallas may be a tough matchup, man. The way that Dallas shoots the ball.
Doncic and Porzingis is a duo. I mean, whoever the Nuggets play in the first round, they should beat. But in a perfect world, the Jazz. I would love to play the Jazz in the first round. They are a mess. I watched them the other night against the Celtics, and there's something wrong there. There's something missing there. They are just, the pieces don't fit.
Well, it's like the Utah Jazz. And that made sense when it was
New Orleans
Jazz.
Right.
But you can't take your nickname, the Jazz, and move to Utah. It's like the least Utah thing there is. Right?
Who thinks of Utah and thinks of jazz?
Man, I'd love to go listen to some jazz music. Let's book some tickets to Utah. No.
No.
Like, so they're confused
from
the start.
They are confused.
They'll never win anything with the nickname the Jazz Utah.
Right? Is that the problem?
That's the main issue. Even when they got with Stockton Malone and they got to the finals, they lost because why? Their name's the Jazz.
So the Nuggets and Clippers play two more times. One tonight in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and another one here.
Right.
And the Nuggets won the first matchup. They only play three. So
this is an interesting game. It's a game, right?
It's a potential tiebreaker game.
So Denver will be able to see it.
It's a potential tiebreaker game, yes.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.